there had been signs before. When there has been a great tide or the earth has shaken, the insects, the snakes, and the birds all behave in...
His hand touched her face. The middle finger of his right hand touched her jaw beneath the left ear. His spatula thumb probed under the right ear.
Tell me once, woman. Why?
The palm of his hand was across her lips, pushing them against her broken teeth. There was the warmth of sweet blood in her mouth.
There, strangers come, but they not as we are. Not Cajuns, not your men or women, not the wolf's head renegades from the other side of the town. They have come from nowhere.
And the signs are bad?
Bad as can be. Never.
The finger and thumb began to tighten, making the cartilage pop under the skin. The grip was inexorable.
That is all? There is nothing more you can say to aid me with these strangers?
She desperately racked her mind for something that might satisfy Baron Tourmont, might spare her from his cold anger.
No? Then you have failed me.
The hand closed on her jaw, squeezing, the nails digging into her flesh. The skin burst under the pressure, and the woman tried to scream for mercy, but already her windpipe was clamped shut. First, the left side of her jaw was dislocated, then the right joint cracked apart. She tried to bite the black hand, but it was too tight against her lip. Blood was filling her mouth, and she struggled to swallow it. The hand pincered in, harder and tighter, until she couldn't breathe. Her veiled eyes protruded from their sockets, blood trickling from the corners. More blood came seeping from her broken mouth, from her nose, and from both ears. It was as though her entire skull was a great sponge, filled with crimson blood, and Baron Tourmont was squeezing it slowly dry. The black giant braced himself on his splinted legs, lifting Mother Midnight until her bare feet hung clear of the carpet, kicking and jerking. He wrinkled his broad nose at the stench as she lost control of both bladder and bowels and fouled herself. But his grip didn't relax for a moment. The last sound she heard, deep within her own head, was a soft cracking.
Adieu, Mama.
The Baron opened finger and thumb with a gesture of revulsion, allowing the corpse to drop to the floor at his feet. He wiped the blood from his hand on his dark cotton shirt.
Come.
It's over, Lord?
Yes, Mephisto, it's over. Remove that and dispose of it to the pets.
And Dan? She saw something?
I think so. Something could be real bad. Pass the word for extra care.
Who can they be?
The massive black man creaked across the room and collapsed inelegantly on a long sofa, stretching the exoskeleton and sighing.
Not that white butcher kid Lauren and his gang of friends.
No?
No, Mephisto. The Bokor woman here smelled something new from outside the swamps.
It is a vengeful spirit come to punish you for your evil, Baron Tourmont.
It was dangerous to make that kind of joke, but the sec boss had judged the moment well.
You think maybe that? Do I do wrong? No. A man like me shouldn't worry about something like that. It may even be blasphemous. But take care. Who knows what manner of creature moves amongst us?
This place is fucking something else.
Henning swatted irritably at a huge mosquito that had battened on his shoulder.
No shit! These bastard flybugs are the biggest I ever saw.
Muties.
The armorer used his pocket sextant to take a sighting of the glowering orb of the sun through the dense foliage of the forest surrounding them.
Thought so. I'd say we're definitely in the deep south, around 200 miles west of the old port of New Orleans.
Cajun country.
Doc Tanner paused to wipe sweat from his brow with a massive kerchief adorned with a swallow's eye design. Ryan turned to him, easing the shoulder strap of his weapon.
What's a Cajun?
Around 500 years ago, back in the 1600s, the French settled on a part of the northern east coast that would later be known as Nova Scotia. The soil being fertile, the climate temperate, the settlers called their paradise Acadia. More than 100 years later, the British drove them out of the region, and the Acadians fled south to these parts. Acadians got corrupted to Cajuns. Simple, isn't it?
You know, Doc, someday you're going to have to clue us all in about just how you came to have such a bottomless supply of knowledge.
Son of a bitch. That tracer we put on the redoubt door so we could find our way back through this swamp crap? Well, the trans doesn't work now. Damp. Don't have another, either. Have to watch our path real careful.
Right. Let's keep moving.
Ryan led the way, following the faint remains of a narrow two-lane blacktop through the trees and shrubs. Never in his life had he seen anything like this place, not even in his dreams. Though it was nearly noon, the sky was filled with a dull, hazy, greenish light. On both sides of the road there was the sullen glint of water, rainbow-tinted where oil lay on its surface. Cypress and pecan saplings twined about each other, with groves of beautiful oaks and graceful elms. And over all of the forest were the smothering veils of Spanish moss, dangling from every branch like spider webs. As the sun broke against it, the moss seemed to shift and alter, diffusing the light in shards of white and gold. Where the shadows gathered, the moss changed color like a chameleon, from green to gray. 200 paces from the building, they came across what had been the security gate. There had been triple-layer barbed wire with porcelain conductors, evidently meant to carry a lethal dose of electricity. But over the decades, the planet had struck back at the man-made intrusions. Fallen trees had smashed the fences. Long creepers had brought down the guard towers, where machine guns rusted in the gloom. It took several minutes for Ryan to lead his party over and under and around the tumbled trees, using his panga to hack away at the clinging ivy. Several times he heard something scuttling away from them, but did not see what it was. They came to a fork in the road, and Henning stepped across to examine the remains of a notice board rested crookedly against the slump of a dead azalea. But as he attempted to pick it up, the wood crumbled in his fingers, rotted by beetles and the humidity. Moving on, they passed more fallen barriers and fences.
Security must have been really tight when the redoubt was built. Now it's all wiped away by the bombing and the weather. Much nuking down here, JB?
Never been hereabouts. Recall some trader in a gaudy house near Windy City saying they use some kind of new missiles.
Both men started and looked upward through a break in the covering branches. They spied a great white bird with beautiful plumage soaring far above them. Neither of them recognized the creature as a snowy egret.
What are we going to do about food, Ryan?
This road's got to lead somewhere. We all got food tabs. A place like this might have dirties living close by. Take their food.
The idea of getting food from the backward muties who are supposed to live deep within some of these more isolated swamp areas isn't exactly that attractive to me.
Lori stopped and pointed ahead, where the trail narrowed by the remains of a high fence. It was now a tangled heap of rusting steel.
Look there.
Looks like there could be a real highway yonder.
Hennings was wrong. It was a back way into a kind of park. There was a wooden causeway floating on the watery mud that flooded the area. Some of the logs had rotted and broken, and others shook dangerously as Ryan stepped carefully on them.
Let's be cautious, people, and keep 10 paces apart.
The trees became sparser, comprised mainly of intertwined mangroves set in the water, some leaning and toppling. The water opened into a kind of bay, offering a visibility of up to a couple of 100 paces. The sun was a watery gold, sailing in a sky dotted with purple and black clouds. Intermittently, Ryan noticed that the surface of the swamps was broken by a rippling splash, as if something had moved or jumped. But it was always the actual enlarging rings of water that caught his eye. He was never quick enough to see what was doing it.